Thank you so much for joining us today. We really hope God speaks to you through this message.
Just going to get situated real quick. Welcome, everybody. It's an honor to be here with all you guys. You know, as mentioned before, we have the multicultural lunch today. And, you know, it's really amazing to see all of the different countries that are represented here. You know, it's very unique to be in a place where so many different countries are represented, yet we're all here for the same purpose. You know, I see here Colombia is represented, Nigeria, Germany. Who else? We got Guyana here. We have Haiti. I'm from the United States. Iran is here. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I know my friend from Trinidad is here. El Salvador. Yes. China. China is here. Philippines. Amazing. Yes. Let's give it up. Praise God. And Canada. Yes. Thank you, Jesus. Absolutely. Amen. Amen. I know Kenya's here too. Sorry if I missed anybody. Sri Lanka. Wow. Amen. Venezuela. Praise the Lord. Venezuela. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Sorry, it's really hard for me to see up here. The lights are like blinding me. Portugal. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Zimbabwe. Amen. Amen. Wow. Is Jamaica here? Jamaica. Yes. I love it. Wow. You know, you can really tell that the presence of the Lord is here because of the diversity with all of us. And with all these different nations being represented, that gets us into the message today. The message is entitled, Make Disciples of All Nations, part one. Amen? Okay, I'm just going to get us into prayer real quick. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this time. Thank you for the representation of so many different nations here, God. We thank you for putting this together. We are all here for one purpose, and that is you, God, to exalt you, to honor you, Jesus. We pray for your wisdom and your revelation to be in this place today. We thank you, God. We pray that you bless this message. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So I would like to thank the Lord for the message that he's placed on my heart today. And then also I would like to thank Pastor Dave and the Pastor's Council for this opportunity to give the message. In Matthew 28:19, the Word of God says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. That is our call. That is our mission, to make disciples of all nations. The gospel that we preach is not a gospel of division. It's not a discriminatory gospel. Is for everybody. Everybody. We are to make disciples of all nations. And I know that there's some among us here that don't exactly know their call and their purpose in the Lord. I just want to encourage everybody that in this scripture right here, this is our call and our purpose. It's to make disciples of all nations. I know in my early years in ministry, I would go to my pastor sometimes and I'd be like, I do not know my call yet. I don't quite understand why the Lord has me here. And she would always direct me to this scripture right here, the Great Commission, what we're called to do. So if you're ever lost about your identity and what God has you here for, you can always go back to the Word. Now, it also says in the Word of God in Matthew 9:37 that the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. And the Word of God says that gives that analogy because there are so many people out there right now just waiting to hear God from you. What is your perspective of the Lord? What is your relationship with the Lord like? So we look at it as, I was sharing this scripture with my wife yesterday, and she gave the most beautiful analogy. We went out to a tulip garden not too long ago, and we had just missed the ripe season by like maybe a week, week and a half. So, you know, we paid our money, we went into the garden, and there were so many dying tulips there. It was really hard to find some good ones. So I give that analogy because you don't want to miss your opportunity to share Jesus with the people that you're supposed to share Jesus with. I feel like God is really putting a directive on my heart right now for everybody. So the harvest, it's plentiful. People are waiting. People are waiting to hear about Jesus from all of us. And I just have a question. So who here wants to see revival in this place? Who wants to see a mighty move of God happen? Yes. Who wants to see the revival fire come here? You know? Amen. That's just about everybody, right? So I'm going to be posing a few things to challenge everybody here today, because a lot of people want to see revival, but not a lot of people are willing to put in the work to see revival happen. And it says that it says in the Word of God that the laborers are few because of a couple reasons. And one of them is a lack of willingness, but also another one is a lack of direction. So the Lord has laid some things on my heart to give direction about as far as going out and making disciples. Amen? So there's a few duties and responsibilities that the Lord wants us to take a hold of in order to see people saved. And the one that he really, really pressed on my heart is that we need to be in unity. We need to be in unity. Like Pastor was just talking about, we are the body of Christ. We are one. I'm going to get farther into that in a second. But, you know, when we walk in this unity, we have a step one as far as that goes. How do we operate in this unity? And we first need to be united and joined with God. This is 1 Corinthians 6:17. It says, "But he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him." So we must first have Jesus as our Lord and Savior. That's number one. To be joined to him, we have to accept him as Lord and Savior. And then from there, we have to work on our relationship with him. We have to work on it daily. There needs to be a time in each one of our days where we get alone with him. I know we get busy. I know. Even if it is that concentrated 20 minutes a day, and then just building from there. We need to spend as much time as we can with the Lord. We need to get into the Spirit. We need to have our minds focused on him and not of this world. There's a lot of things in this world that can throw us off, that can get us, you know, focused on the wrong things. So we need to daily be working on our relationship with him, praying, spending time with him, worshiping. We don't just worship here in the house of the Lord. We can worship on our own time. Amen? Amen. So The Lord is saying this to us because we have an amazing example in the Word of God where there was unity that happened first, and then a move of God happened. In Acts 1:14, it says, "These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren." So at this time, the Lord, he was resurrected from the dead. He came back for the 40 days. He went back to the right hand of God. And here the disciples were waiting for the instruction and the directive. What are we doing next? Well, they started off with coming together in unity, in one mind, one vision, one purpose. And there's many examples in the Word about people coming together and accomplishing a lot of things. So we take even the Tower of Babel. Tower of Babel, they were all of one language. They had one mission to build this huge tower up to heaven. And they accomplished a lot, so much so that God had to come down and intervene, scramble their language, and stop what they were doing. So there's power. There's power in unity. Even with the walls of Jericho, when the Israelites were coming into the promised land, there was instructions that they had to follow. It was 7 days in total. 6 days, they had to go once around the city. And then on the seventh day, you know, there was a certain amount of priests. There was a certain amount of trumpets. And then on the sound of Joshua, they had to blow the trumpet. Walls came down. Amen? Hallelujah. So in the same way as we are here, the Lord gives us all instruction to be unified and be of the same mind and the same purpose. So it's unity first and then the move of God. This is Acts 2:1. It says, "When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place." Same mission, same purpose, and boom, the Holy Spirit fell. Amen? So I want us to get into a little bit of what I call a unity exercise. So today, during the sermon, when I say, "Praise the Lord," you guys say, "Hallelujah." Okay? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen, guys. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. You know, it also gives us that opportunity just to praise the Lord during service. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. It was so amazing. Just a couple days ago, I was sharing a little bit of what I was going to be speaking on today with Pastor Dave. And then, hold on. Let me back up. Pastor Dave shared with me the focus of Lighthouse for the year. And media team, can we bring up the focus of Lighthouse? And it really struck me because God has been talking to me so much about unity. Do we have that up? So basically the beginning of the focus is together, one with him. Lord has been speaking to me so much about this, and I then shared with him how some of the message today is going to be about unity. So that's the focus for this year. This is the focus for us all to be one. Has it been brought up? No? Okay. It's all right. I have it here. So I'm just going to read just a little bit. It says, "Together, one with him." That's the beginning of it. And so I'm just going to read just a little excerpt. It says, "Together, believing that blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever. Amen. Together, moving forward through the door our Lord has opened for us in the power of the Holy Spirit, using the weapons mighty through God a house of prayer, the gates of Hades will not prevail against the church together worshiping Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So if you guys want to read the whole thing, yes, let's give it up for the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Good. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. So if you guys want to read the rest of it, it's actually out in the foyer, printed up. So we have been talking the past few weeks about the temple. The temple. We individually are all temples of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit dwells inside of us. Amen? And so that's us as individuals. Together, we are the body of Christ. We're the body of Christ. And unity is knowing that we all need each other. This is 1 Corinthians 12, 12 and 14. It says, "For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many." So we all have this individual call, and we all have this individual function and purpose within the body. So it's that analogy of how a body works, how a body is dependent on each other. Just think about it. There's no part on our body that is useless. Imagine if we didn't have our big toes. We wouldn't be able to run. We wouldn't be able to balance. Imagine if we didn't have our tongue to speak. You know, your body would be able without the tongue. You could, you know, still play instruments. You could play sports at a high level, but you wouldn't even be able to speak or sing. So think about it in this way. If even one of us isn't in the position or function that we're supposed to be in, it's going to hinder us. It's going to hinder the vision and the dream that the Lord has for the church. That's how important all of us are. Amen? Praise the Lord. Good, good. This is Romans 12, 4 through 5. It says, "For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another." I can speak to my early years as a Christian. I was called to ministry pretty early, but my function in the body was I was cleaning the toilets before Sunday service. I was mowing the grass. I was making sure that the sprinkler system was all right. You know, while I was doing that, I was studying under my pastor. I was serving. I was in my function that the Lord called me to. So, you know, he then eventually had me go from that to then being a teacher of the children of the church, then a youth leader, and then he later called me to be a pastor. You know, some of us move from different functions. Some of us don't stay in the same function. We're supposed to learn some different things while we're in one position, and then go to another. And then some of us were called to man our post, to play our part. Amen? So I know that the Lord is calling everybody here to a certain place in the church. There's many amazing ministries that are here. There's the prayer teams in the morning. There's the Hope for Hurting Hearts. There's Go Forth. Every Saturday, we go out and we evangelize and pray with people. There's so much going on. You know, even if the Lord's placing on your heart to clean the floors in the sanctuary, whatever it is, it's for a reason, it's for a purpose, and it's for the greater good. And ultimately, it's for Jesus. Amen? Amen. So, we won't truly be in one accord until everybody is in their function. And there's different aspects about our society here that kind of pull us away from having real relationships with each other. And I know when I was growing up, in the U.S., you know, we used to talk to our neighbors. We used to say hi to each other in the grocery stores, and we weren't as closed off as we are nowadays. And so one thing that we don't want to do is bring an aspect of society into the church. We don't want to do that. And I'm gonna challenge everybody a little bit today. I want us to focus on being a little bit more intentional with one another. You know, there might be people that you might see here, like just on Sundays, and you know, it's kind of just like a hi and bye and a catching up, instead of, you know, really being invested into one another. So I challenge you guys. You know, invite people out to lunch, invite people out to those coffee dates. Amen. Good. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. So that's where the unity happens, when we invite each other into our lives. Me and my wife, we've been here for about 3 months. 3 months at the church. I couldn't tell you how many lunches we've been to, dinners, meetings, coffee dates. It's just a connect. It's just a connect with everybody, and ultimately, it blesses our lives so much when we have a community around us. You know, we have people around us that hold us up, that support us. We need that. So I would encourage everybody to come to the multicultural lunch today, too. If anybody was thinking, oh, I'm just going to go home after service, I challenge you today. Come, fellowship, spend time with everybody. Amen? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. You know, there was a study that was done by Harvard University, and it talked about how people that regularly go to church, they have a lower rate of depression, smoking, heavy drinking, and loneliness just by coming here to service. But that same study found that there was this increase in satisfaction in people's lives when they have developed friendships amongst other people in the congregation. So this is a system that the Lord has put together in order for us to have better wellness in our lives, our mental health. This is why he has set up the church, the body of Christ. We are the church. If nobody was here, this would just be an empty building. This wouldn't even be considered a church. We are the church. Amen? So, we have to be in unity to be able to fulfill the vision that we have here. And what is the foundation of the vision is to make disciples of all nations. We want to touch people. We have all seen how the Lord has changed our lives, and we want to see it for other people. Amen? So we also need to come into unity about the gospel. The gospel. So the focal point of the gospel is Christ and Him crucified. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen? Amen. Let's give it up for the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. So, that is the focal point of the gospel, and there are different aspects of the gospel that we need to be focused on and that we need to preach and that we need to do in our lives. So the gospel is more than preaching. It's more than that. Preaching is essential. How else are people going to hear about Jesus? Now, the Gospels, they encompass everything that the Lord instructs us and gives us an example of in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That is how we're supposed to be living our lives. That is what we're supposed to be teaching people. So when you look at the Gospels, like I said, the Gospels are the teaching and the example that Jesus set for the church. And then when you look at the book of Acts, that is the church then living out all the things that Jesus taught us and showed us. So I encourage everybody to get into the book of Acts. We're going to talk more about it next week. But I also call it the book of action. That's how we're supposed to be functioning. I just want to talk about just the different aspects of the gospel that we also need to be focusing on. And that is also praying. The Lord has instructed us in the gospels to pray. Pray for one another. Pray by spending time with the Lord. That Jesus spent a lot of time in prayer, and He needed to. He was fully God, but also fully man when He was here on earth. So He showed us that example of how we need to stay connected with our Father in heaven to be able to deal with the things that this world throws at us. Another aspect of the gospel is communing with brethren. We need that. It is also absolutely imperative. Also, healing the sick. The Lord gives us directives to heal the sick. It says, lay your hands on the sick, and they will recover. Also, raising the dead. That's a command from the Lord. Casting out demons. Helping the needy. Baptizing people. Teaching. So these are all different aspects of the gospel that we need to keep in mind. It's not just about coming to church. It's not just about having good intentions. It's also about living it out. So we have to make sure to have the gospels be fully a part of our life. With Go Forth, every Sunday we have an evening prayer, and this Sunday was fiery. You know, we do it over Zoom. Everybody is invited to join these prayer meetings, but as we were praying, you know, we're praying for people to get saved. We're praying for the territory, and I remember afterwards texting some people and being like, "Oh my gosh, I really just felt so much breakthrough in the prayers that we were doing tonight." And, you know, people agreed. They were feeling the presence of the Lord. And I give this story because I had later on, after the prayer, went out in my neighborhood and, you know, was just doing a run. I was exercising, and as I was running, I see these guys outside of this like temple, and they're dressed in these robes. I wasn't sure what they were doing, but then I saw that it was a mosque. I'm like, okay, all right. And as I'm running, I'm just asking the Lord if he wants me to go in and talk to them. And I felt on my heart that he wanted me to speak to them. It was a very intimidating situation. You have these guys that are just coming out of their place of worship, and they clearly do not believe in the Lord. But there was a thought that crossed my mind. We were just praying for people to get saved. We were praying against all of these false religions and false teachings. And I had a moment there to choose to follow the Lord and be a witness for him. And so I went up to the mosque, was talking to these guys, some more even joined. It was about a 25-30 minute discussion with these men. Praise God, praise the Lord. They heard about Jesus, they got the gospel. You know, thankfully, I've been doing some studying as far as how to speak to people of that faith. So I want to encourage everybody, too, to be ready. Be ready for situations like that. We need to be ready to defend our faith. But there's a few things that I want to encourage everybody in when you're in moments like that. We need to keep love, care, and concern in the forefront. It's not a fight. It's not an argument. Actually, the whole time that I was speaking to these people, it was all love. It was all love. And, you know, they got to share with me their beliefs, and I got to share with them what I know is true. And so it was amazing because, you know, they obviously at times were not very happy with some of the things that I was saying. You know, the gospel offends. That's not the purpose of the gospel to offend, but the truth offends people that are caught up in the world and in other beliefs. So it was incredible because by the end of that conversation, we exchanged numbers. They invited me back to the mosque to have more conversations like this. So I just say that because the gospel is more than just wanting to see people saved and praying over like territories, and it's also action. We have to do it, and we can do it. We can do it. Even if we're scared. It says in the book of Acts how, you know, when the Holy Spirit had fallen, everybody was baptized in the Holy Spirit. And in Acts 1:8, it says, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you." Power. That gives us boldness in those situations. And so when you receive the Lord's power, you also have to exercise it so that boldness can increase, so that love can increase. But it says here that through his power, he gives us the strength to do it. And I love this scripture too, because it says, "And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in Judea." So we need this power inside of us to be the witnesses that we need to be. Amen? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. So God can reach anyone. God can save anyone. Once we stop limiting God in our mind, he's going to stop limiting the power through us. So we have to first believe. We can't go into situations with people and be like, ah, they're too far gone. They're too lost. They'll never get it. You're limiting God. Amen? So this is another challenge that I have for everybody this week too. We all have family and friends in our lives that don't believe in the Lord. So I want to challenge everybody, you know, whoever comes to your mind right now about who that is, get into a conversation with them this week. Talk to them about Jesus. I know it's not easy. I was just in a conversation this past week with one of my best friends. We've been friends since we were 9 years old, and I've been witnessing to him for 11 years. And we were talking. I'm like, "All right, man, I gotta ask, how's your relationship with God?" He's like, "I don't have one." I'm like, "Okay." Well, we had a back and forth for about 45 minutes. And I want to encourage everybody, because you take my friend who I was talking to, and he doesn't go to church. He doesn't watch sermons online. From me in that conversation, that might have been the only time that he's heard any truth in the last, who knows? So we all have those people in our lives that we are meant to help make disciples of. Amen? So there's a study that came out that says between 50 and 80% of people who are saved, they're saved because they heard about Jesus from another family or family member or friend. Who here is saved because they heard about Jesus from a family member or a friend? Right. So that's how important it is. Just about, half of the room. So there are people that God has us connected to for a reason. And we can't give up on them. Like I said, God can save anyone. No one is out of reach. We have to stay consistent in that love that we have for people. Love is having the hard conversations. Love is not just about us telling people what they want to hear. That's not what it is. It's not always a debate, fight, back and forth. No. The Holy Spirit gives us discernment about how we can maintain these relationships and lead them to Jesus. Who did Jesus sit with? Who was he breaking bread with? Who was he friends with? He wasn't friends with the top religious people at the time. You figure he would be with them, right? No. He was with the tax collectors. He was with the prostitutes. So he gave us that example because it is possible for us to have a relationship still with our friends and our family members that are caught in the world. There's a way that we can do that in love, but also us standing firm on our beliefs and our values and our morals. So this life, it's not about ourselves. It's not. It's about making disciples of all nations. The harvest is ripe. We just have to position ourselves to fulfill this call. To fulfill this call. I know that there are future ministers here. There are future pastors, apostles, prophets, evangelists, teachers. God is calling us to do something mighty here in the church. But what is he calling you to do right now? We're going to seek the Lord on what that is. So we have to do this. We have to do this all together. And remember, it was that unity first. That unity first happened. And then the move of the Holy Spirit. Then the move of God. So what I want us to do is, I want us to just all come forward. Just come forward here. I want to pray right now for a fresh touch of the Holy Spirit for everybody. Praise the Lord. Yes, everybody down there, up there too. Come on, guys. Yeah, down here. Yeah. So I want us just to come together in unity here. All one. We're just going to pray for a touch. Okay. Yeah, go ahead. Step forward, guys. Step forward. We need plenty of room. Okay. Come on forward, guys. So when the apostles went out, they were all of one mind. They were all of one purpose. They had one goal. And it wasn't about how smart they were. It wasn't about, them saying the right words. Nothing like that. It was just about everybody being together. It was just about the togetherness. That is the order that the Lord has for us. That's what He wants us to do. So if we're able to stay one, we're just going to have the Lord be able to just flow through us. Flow through us. In Jesus' name. Okay, right now I'm just going to be praying for a touch of the Holy Spirit. Everything that we need. Fresh anointing, fresh stirring up of all the gifts that we have. In Jesus' name. Heavenly Father, right now, I pray for your Spirit to be upon us, God. We pray for this unity as we stand right now in agreement, Lord. May your blessing and your power be upon us right now, God. We are the body of Christ, united as one in Jesus. Heavenly Father, I pray that you speak to everybody here about the function that they have in the body of Christ. I pray for calls and purposes to be placed upon everybody right now in Jesus' name. We pray right now that people put their hands to the plow in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. I pray that you have your love fall upon everybody right now in Jesus' name. We praise you and we love you, God. We pray right now, Lord, that your anointing falls upon us. You guys can pray in tongues. I pray for a fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit. You said when your Holy Spirit fell, everybody received power. I pray for a fresh baptism of the Holy Spirit right now in Jesus' name. Simbra baba bari vera karana. May we be endued with power, God. Lord, I pray right now that you place upon people's hearts and minds who they need to speak to this week, Lord. We are going to receive testimonies from this in Jesus' name. I pray for your wisdom and your guidance to fall upon everybody right now. Simbra baba bari vera krum baba baba shivra karan bari vera karan te 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 be shivra krum baba bari vera ka. Thank you, Jesus. Divra karam baba 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 shevro krom bari vera karan te te vasha karam baba bari vera ka more Lord simbra baba bari vera karam baba bari vera ki see we're here for you God simbra baba but I pray for more direction I pray for more words of wisdom God dimbra baba baba shevro krom baba bari vera karan te te vasha karan in Jesus name. We press into your spirit, God. We worship you, Lord. May that scripture of making disciples of all nations come alive in our lives. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Amen. And I just want to, let's give it up for the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
I just want to give this opportunity to anybody right now that wants to dedicate their lives to Jesus, anybody that wants to make a rededication, or they want to make a public declaration of their faith in Jesus Christ as Lord. If that's you, please repeat this prayer with me with your whole heart. Say, "Dear Lord Jesus, come into my heart, forgive me of my sins, wash and cleanse me, fill me with the Holy Spirit. Jesus, I thank you for dying for me. I believe you're coming back for me. I'm saved, I'm born again, and I'm on my way to heaven because I have Jesus in my heart, and Jesus loves me." Amen, amen. You guys may take a seat in God's presence. Let's give it up for the Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Hey, my name is Felix, and we really hope that message spoke to you. We have hundreds of sermons to check out from wherever you're listening. Thank you again for joining us, and we hope to see you again. Peace.